It's a Wednesday and it's our midweek study again. So I hope you have your Bibles ready. I hope you have your notebooks and pens ready as we study all together this wonderful book. Today we'll be looking at the last section of Exodus 17. So if you have your Bibles, kindly turn your Bibles to Exodus 17, verses 8 to 16. Exodus 17, 8 to 16. And it reads, "Then Amalek came and fought with Israel in at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand.' So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed, and whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands grew weary, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun, and Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with a sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Write this as a memorial in a book and recite it in the ears of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven.' And Moses built an altar and called the name of it, 'The Lord is my banner,' saying, 'A hand upon the throne of the Lord. The Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation.'" The word of the Lord, and may God bless the reading of His word. Pray po muna tayo bago tayo mag-aral. Lord, we thank you for your grace. Thank you for gathering us together, apart we may be. And we pray that you'd be with us to teach us, to explain it to us clearly. We pray that this study will be pleasing and acceptable to you. For your glory's sake alone, Lord, this is why we study. Not just to be informed, but for us to be encouraged that the Lord, the God whom we serve, is a faithful God indeed. As we read the pages of Scripture, as how you dealt with your people, Israel. We pray that you'd allow the meditations of our hearts and minds and the words that would come out of my mouth be glorifying and pleasing and acceptable to you. This is our heart's cry in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. So, we are continuing our study on this wonderful book. And right before our eyes, friends, it is not just Israel. Yes, it's Israel, but not just Israel. But I believe Israel is a representation of the Christians. Right before our eyes is our walk. Kaya ako nabanggit po ito is because as we have seen, just like Christianity, we look back to the many times that God has been so faithful. Diba, napakarami po nun. In protecting us, in preserving us, and providing for us. That's what we see, diba, sa bayang ito na pinili ng Diyos. And yet, like the Israelites, we see ourselves complaining, tama po ba? Grumbling, tama po ba? And quarreling with the Lord the moment hardship befalls on us. So, this is not just Israel. This is our story. Ano sabi ni Pablo? That the story, their story, is to instruct us and to encourage us. Hindi po ba? What we have seen so far is God miraculously parting the Red Sea. Hindi po ba? And I like the language that the Israelites use when they made up a song, when they made a song for God. Sabi nga di ba? At the blast of His nostrils, nag-pile up yung water. And in gentle care for His people, the Hebrews, all 3 million of them, were able to pass through, anong gustong-gusto nating banggitin? On dry ground. What gentle care. And we saw also how God destroyed the Egyptians as He made the sea swallow them up. Tapos nakita na yung praises were heard, a song was sung, diba? In the wilderness, and after 3 days, grumbling. We have seen this faithful God healing the bitter water in Marah to make it sweet, to take care of His chosen nation. Then he gave them rules and statutes to test them, to teach them to trust him. Hindi po ba? And God, in his care, led them to what? An oasis. Naalala niyo po yun? So, at Elim, we see them having a place with 12 springs and 70 palm trees to give their troubled hearts encouragement. Wow, ang ganda nun, ano? They were complaining about bitter water, and God healed that, and to top it all off, He led them to an oasis. Pero yung oasis na yon is not the chosen, is not the promised land. Diba? Hindi siya yung promised land. It was not the land flowing with milk and honey. So off they went. From Elim, we see them in the wilderness of Sin. And we said, grabe, no? Parang akmang-akma yung lugar na yon because of what we have been seeing. This unfaithful people will commit again sin against a very faithful God. Tapos, nakit natin, nagreklamo na naman sila. They grumbled against Moses and ultimately against God. Nalala niyo po ba yung reklamo nila? Remember what their complaints was? Sabi nila, Exodus 16:3, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." They complain about water, now they're complaining about food. Right there and then, pwede namang parusahan ng Diyos sa mga taong ito. He could have punished them. He could have given up on them. But God is a gracious God. God is a faithful God. And so we see Him providing for them. In fact, for 40 years, they will be provided for. They will be fed apart from them working. Right? Tanong ko lang, sinong bayan ang pwedeng mag-claim nun during their time and in our time? Which nation can speak of the same that God has provided for them apart from their work? Apart from them working. Hindi po ba? Mana from heaven, the best that God could give, di ba? Sabi natin, kasi yung hindi lang ito matamis na tinapay or parang wafer, na, kasi nabanggit, tastes like honey. Remember? Sabi natin, the figure of speech that God used for this promised land is a land flowing with milk and honey. God gave them the best. At quail for meat, God has given them both they desired, meat and bread. And God's provision, sabi natin, hindi lang siya supernatural. Diba? Hindi lang ito basta-basta provision. It's a supernatural provision. Hindi lang siya sufficient because it's very sufficient for 40 years. It's also sacred. It was to be remembered. It was to be memorialized. And so, nakita natin ang Diyos, inutusan si Moses to gather an omer of manna. Sabi natin sa ating pag-aaral, mga 2 to 4 liters ito. So, ilagay sa garapon, ipurit na jar, para saan? For the next generation to understand, to marvel at this gracious God. Praise the Lord indeed, hindi po ba? Yet we see this nation complaining once again. In fact, we said that they have placed a charge against Moses, against God. Remember, the last time we were together, we said that the word quarrel in the original language has a picture of filing a lawsuit. And what was their charge? Remember, Exodus 17, verse 7? Sabi nila, they're asking, is the Lord among us or not? They were charging God of abandonment, of treason. They were charging God of being unfaithful. Di ba nakakapangilabot, ano? And then we marvel as we saw the gospel right before our eyes, how this righteous one has taken the place of the guilty. Remember, verse 6, "Behold, I will stand before you." Sabi natin, di po ba, since it's a courtroom scene, those who stand before the court is not the judge, is not the lawyer, but the accused. But God is not guilty, so we see substitution here. We see atonement here. The beautiful picture of the gospel, and I will stand before you on the rock. And I will be on the rock at Horeb, telling us at that point, he will be the rock. And what will happen? And you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink. The gospel in Exodus. God taking the place of the guilty to be stricken, to provide water. And not just any water, but life-giving water. Remember, last week po sabi natin, Jesus was the bread from heaven. Jesus is the one who offers life-giving water. Amazing grace, isn't it? Diba? Dapat nating huwag kalimutan that grace is indeed amazing. Imagine, sa Exodus, andun yung gospel. How God, who is supreme, who is blameless, who is spotless, who is sinless, would take the place of the guilty. Para saan? Bakit? Because this God is a very faithful God. He is taking the place of His chosen nation. Because He knows they cannot keep their end of the covenant. Amazing grace talaga. Amazing grace. And so we go on with the story, right? And we find ourselves in verse 8. Sa section na ito ng Exodus, we see, di ba, God using the wilderness experience to form His people, to mold His people. He shaped them to display His glory among the nations. Nung nakaraan, nakita natin, they were exploring the wilderness and they faced a lot of challenges, which include lack of water, lack of food, and God was humbling His people, teaching them to trust Him and dealing Him and His word. Sabi ng Diyos, I will provide for you. I will take care of you. I will lead you. Right? To God, it's a done deal. I will take you to that promised land. And later on, He would prove again as a God who cares, who is faithful, because He will give them His law and teach them how to live. And then He had them instruct later on to construct the tabernacle for worship. What a wonderful God this is. He got every basis covered. All they needed to do was to trust Him. I will take you all the way. I will give you the law to teach you how to live. I will instruct you to construct the tabernacle so that I would dwell in the tabernacle for you to worship me, for you to experience my glory, my presence. And again, friends, wag tayong, again, sabi natin, ang pag-aaral po ng Biblia, especially the Old Testament, we just don't look at it from one vantage point. We see it at a bigger context using the lens of the whole counsel of Scripture. Because here we see that we can learn lessons from this portion of Exodus related to how to build a community of faith, a healthy community of faith. And sa ating pag-aaral, I would like to present to you three essentials of a healthy community of faith. Essential number one is God's power. That is what we'll be looking at today. This is found in chapter 17, 8 to 16. Later on, we will see another essential of a healthy community of faith is gospel witness. We will see that in chapter 18, 1 to 12. The third essential is shared ministry. This is found in chapter 18, 13 to 26. So, sa section ito ng pag-aaral natin sa Exodus, we will be looking at patterns, essentials to build a healthy community of faith. God's a healthy community of faith depends on God's power. They are good gospel witnesses, and they would understand that this is a shared ministry. Ngayong pong araw na ito, we'll be looking at the first essential, God's power. A healthy community of faith relies on God's power. Here we see Israel's first outside enemy after the Exodus. Noong una, ang kanilang mga kaaway, ano? From within, di ba? They're grumbling, their own sinful bent. Now we see their first outside enemy after the Exodus. At nakakamangha itong kanilang unang kaaway, they represent the seed of the serpent rising up against the seed of Eve. Because we would find out who they are. Let's find out who they are. Look at verse 8. Then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. Sino si Amalek? Again, Amalek, napansin niya, Amalek, and then he fought with Israel. Amalek representing the Amalekites. Israel representing the Israelites, right? The Amalekites, sino sila? We can trace their lineage back to Esau. Sino si Esau, right? Narin si Esau? Yung kapatid ni Jacob, right? Si Amalek was the grandson of Esau. Write this down. Genesis 36, verse 12. Right? At sila ang nag-inhabit ng Northern Sinai Peninsula. Genesis 14, 7, Numbers 13, 29. Listen to Stuart. Sabi ni Stuart, commenting on the Amalekites. Sabi niya, the Amalekites organized themselves into a very early national nomadic group. First among the nations in the words of Balaam. That lived partly by attacking other population groups and plundering their wealth. Ano ba yung mga nomads? Wala silang sariling tirahan. They naglalakbay sila from one place to another. And sabi nga ni Stuart, they are a group, parang warriors ito, and they attack other groups. Para saan? To plunder their wealth. Right? The Amalekites had domesticated the camel and use its swiftness effectively in surprise attacks. Not only did the Amalekites attack Israel at Rephidim, but a year later, they attacked them again at Hormah. We would see that later on. When the Israelites had been driven out of southern Canaan and were on the run after their foolish attempts to enter the promised land in spite of God's warning not to. Wag muna. Because they could not. Yung struggle with the Amalekites would continue, right? Israel's first enemy was from within. Diba? The difficulties at Marah, the desert of Sin, at Massa and Meribah. At lahat ng ito ay, ang dahilan is because of their own disbelief, because of their own discontentment. It led them to grumbling against their leaders and against, ultimately, their God. At dahil doon, they were discouraged. Tama? They were disheartened. Ngayon, sa Exodus 17, 8-13, we see an outside enemy. Balik tayo dun sa ating sinasabi na this is pointing out essentials to building a healthy community of faith. Healthy communities of faith must be aware of both threats. Our own sinful bent and the threat from outside. In the book of Acts, the people encountered opposition from the outside. Tama? Diba? We see that. Like threats and persecution. Look at Acts 4, look at Acts 11. Pero meron din silang problema sa loob, hindi po ba? Remember Ananias and Sapphira? Right? So, as a good community of faith, we need to be aware of the threat from outside and from within. So, ito yung kalaban ng Israelites. Why were they fighting? Again, we cannot be that certain, but as some commentaries and scholars have mentioned, that these are nomads. These are warriors, and they attack to plunder the wealth of their victims. Siguro sabi ng ilan, they may have felt threatened by their arrival, by the Israelites' arrival, kasi iba, 3 million itong mga taong ito eh. And so they were trying to protect their valuables, diba? Sabi natin sa Pilipino, galit ang magnanakaw sa kapwa magnanakaw. Maybe they thought itong mga Israelites were actually also like themselves, who would attack other groups to plunder their wealth. We don't know for sure. Siguro nakita nila na, ay, mahina itong Israelites na to. Remember, although there are 3 million, but they were only, it's a mixture of men, women, and old people, right? So, siguro nakita nila na vulnerable sila. In fact, if when you go to Deuteronomy 25, 17 to 18, I hope you're writing this down. I may not be able to read it as we go along the study. Naalala nyo, see Moses looking back at this account in Deuteronomy 25, he said that the Israelites were attacked when they were weary, when they were nung pagod sila, nung sila disheartened. They attacked men, women, and children from behind, even from behind, right? Telling us that these people had no fear of God. Relentless itong mga ito. Walang habag itong mga ito. They fear no one. They fear no God. Clearly, the Amalekites were fighting for a different army. The Israelites were part of God's army. The Amalekites were not. Right? So, ano nangyari? Let's look at verse 9. As we study, continue our study on this section. So Moses said to Joshua, this is the first time we will hear about Joshua being mentioned. Diba? Si Joshua, yung magiging kapalit ni Moses. So Moses said to Joshua, choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. Anong, ang ganda nun. I don't want you to miss that. And sabi ni Moses, Joshua, pumili ka ng mga kalakyan, lalaban tayo, right? They were threatened. They needed to fight back. They needed to defend themselves. But as he was commanding Joshua to choose men, able men to fight with Amalek, telling us that at this point, the Israelites already have built their own army. Diba? Joshua may have been the leader of this army. Sabing ganun, ako naman, aakit ako sa hilltop, and I will have hindi lang stick, right? The staff of God. Remember when we were looking at the last section, telling us yung judgment niya ng Panginoon Diyos sa mga Israelites? Remember, Moses with the elders were passing through with the staff, di ba? Of judgment, staff of God. The staff that he struck the Nile with. And I like that. Don't miss those little details. He had the staff of God. Yung genitive importante, of God. In my hand. Verse 10. So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek while Moses, Aaron, and Hur. Again, sino si Hur? This is the first time we'll be hearing Hur. And some biblical studies or some scholars associate her with Miriam. Sabi nung ilan, he could be Miriam's husband or he could be Miriam's son. Right? So, si Aaron at si Hur went up to the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands grew weary. So, they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat on it while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the sword. Sabi ni Moses kay Joshua, pumili ka ng mga kalakihan who would fight for us. Tomorrow I will stand on the hill now. Inisip ko lang, no? As a good Bible student, I'd like to think of many possibilities. Ano kaya naisip ni Joshua nung inutusan siya ni Moses? Yung parang, sige, ako lalaban, ikaw pupunta ka sa taas. Yung parang lugi naman ako ron. Right? But, pardon my sanctified imagination. I'm just saying, pero what we see, we don't know what he thought of, right? But what we see that is that he obeyed. Ibang mama talaga ito. Ibang lalaki talaga itong, what a man of God, what a man of faith. In fact, diba, alam natin, he would be one of those, pati si Caleb, would be allowed in this generation to enter the promised land while God would kill the unfaithful generation. Right? So nakita natin he obeyed. And here we see a powerful picture here. Israel used physical weapons led by Joshua. See, Joshua was a warrior. He would again eventually become a dominant figure in Israel. In fact, he would be replacing Moses. Right? And to lead the people into Canaan. Gusto ko lang isipin at sabihin sa atin mga kapatid, right? As we are introduced here to Joshua. Throughout Exodus, in fact, throughout the Bible, but in our study, throughout Exodus, God was showing little flashes of things to come. Right? We saw the gospel, right? Sabi nga, there will be a prophet like Moses in a warrior who will fight for you, like Joshua. All together in one person. Tama? Who is it? Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ our Lord. So Moses told Joshua to choose some men and go fight. So Joshua selected his team. We don't know the criteria, but he chose, probably since he is a warrior, he chose the best. And he went. And as Joshua was using physical weapons, Moses used spiritual weapons. He went to the hillside and raised his shepherd's staff, a symbol of God's presence, a symbol of God's promise, a symbol of God's power, right? Moses' actions demonstrated that he was dependent on God for victory and telling us that the battle is the Lord's. Hindi sa kanila, the battle is the Lord's. Napansin niyo ang nangyari? Hindi sila nanalo lamang dahil sa kanilang physical force. Kundi nanalo sila dahil sa spiritual force. Ano nangyari? Sabing ganon, nasa taas ng bundok si Moses with Aaron and Hur. And as they were fighting, tinaas ni Moses ang kanyang kamay. At dahil matanda na ito, at pag napapagod, binababa. And probably Aaron and Hur, who were with Moses, saw the pattern na pag nabababa yung kamay, natatalo ang Israelites. Pero pag tinataas ni Moses yung kamay, nananalo sila. So, they saw, oh, there's a pattern. And then so, dahil alam nilang napapagod si Moses, they took a stone, could be a big stone, right? Bakit big stone? For him to sit there and still be able to be seen by the Israelites. Right? So, umupo sila doon, pinaupo niya, tapos yung isang kamay na hawak-hawak ni Aaron, yung isang kabilang kamay ay hawak-hawak ni Hur para itaas nila yung kamay ni Moses while holding the staff of God, a symbol of power, presence, and protection, tama, ng Panginoon Diyos, until matapos ang araw. Why was he raising his hands? Sabi natin, the battle was won two ways. Physically, but more so spiritually. Right? So, Moses lifted up his hands. Though some might argue that this was not really prayer, because we would never see in scripture, in the text, that explicitly sinabing prayer, I think this is a picture of intercession. But Moses lifted up his hands, diba? Appealing to God to show his power. Remember? When Moses lowered his hand, they began to lose the battle. Tapos nakita na ni Aaron at Hur yung pattern, so they helped Moses up by giving him a seat and holding up his hand. The result was, they overwhelmed the enemy. Naalala niyo, I don't know if you would agree with me. Some of you, or maybe most of you, have ridden a roller coaster, di ba? Anong ginagawa natin pag mataas? Matataas natin pag ganun, di ba? We raise our hands. We raise one hand, at times we raise two hands. I was reading this and I was studying on this. Sabi ng isang commentary na nabasa ko, those who raised their hands, they were asked why were they raising their hands. They were saying, it's out of my control and I'm okay with that. I would trust the rail. Right? Sabi, So, Moses raising his hand can probably be a sign of dependence on God, right? I'm not dogmatic on this, but what I see is that God has written this down for us to see that Moses raised his hands, and when he raised his hands, the Israelites were winning. When he lowered down his hands, the Israelites were losing, right? Raising one's hands or one's arm is a sign of dependent prayer elsewhere in the Bible. Remember, si Pharaoh, I don't know if you forgotten this. I think it was the 8th plague. Diba nung si Pharaoh lumapit kay Moses and asked to be prayed for, asked for Moses to pray for him. Diba? Pharaoh sent for Moses and Aaron. Exodus 9. 27 to 29. Sabing ganun dito ni si Pharaoh nagsasalita. I have sinned this time, diba? Sabing ganun ni Pharaoh, I have sinned this time. He said to them, Yahweh is the righteous one, and I and my people are the guilty ones. Make an appeal to Yahweh. The Pharaoh talking to Moses and Aaron. There has been enough of God's thunder and hail. I will let you go. You don't need to stay any longer. Moses said to him, listen, when I have left the city, I will extend my hands to Yahweh. Ano sabi niya? I have sinned this time. Make an appeal to Yahweh. Ano sabi ni Moses? When I have left the city, I will extend my hands to Yahweh. The thunder will cease and there will be no more hail. So that you may know the earth belongs to Yahweh. So, nakita natin sa Exodus pa lang, sa context ng biblical theology natin, sa Exodus pa lang, raising of hands is an appeal. Right? Elsewhere, Psalm 63, verse 3 to 4, the psalmist spoke of uplifted hands. Seeking God, my lips will glorify you. Because your faithful love is better than life. So I will praise you as long as I live. And at your name, I will lift up my hands. Diba? So this is an appeal. This is seeking God when the psalmist lifted up his hands. Psalm 141 verse 2. May my prayer be set before you as incense, the raising of my hands as the evening offering. In the New Testament, sabi ni Paul kay Timothy, sa 1 Timothy, I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or argument. So the text may not be saying prayer, but Moses was clearly depending on God for victory. Right? So that's why I said the raising of hands of Moses was intercession for the Israelites, for the Jews. Right? It may not say prayer, but it was clearly an appeal to God to fight for His chosen nation. You know, friends, as we build this community of faith, we may fight like Joshua, physically and with arms. But we must also cry out to God in prayer like Moses. Dapat nga, lagi natin inuuna yon. And I really praise the Lord. I mean, alam ng mga Ask Ministry ito, members to. I really appreciate them. And again, I'm gonna speak to you, GCF East people. These brothers and sisters, okay? Itong grupong ito has been praying for all of you every day except Sunday. But Sunday, we don't congregate, we don't meet and pray together. But I'm pretty sure they pray sa kanilang sariling time for you guys, for your concerns. And keep those prayer concerns coming. Keep those prayer requests coming. Right? So the text may not be saying prayer, but we see intercession. We fight like Joshua, but we should never forget crying out to God, right? Again, the idea of prayer seems to be confirmed in this section. Paano? So verse 16, indeed my hand, sabi nga ni Moses, is lifted up toward the Lord's throne, right? This phrase sa napakahirap i-translate ito, pero napakaganda ng pagka-translate ng ating version na binabasa. A hand upon the throne of the Lord. Right? Elsewhere in the Bible describes prayer as coming to the throne. Right? Hebrews 4:16. We can come the throne of grace with boldness. We can come to the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us at the proper time. Again, in our battles, like what we've seen in Israel, we must fight like Joshua, but we must also hold up our hands to God, to God's throne, and say, "It's out of my control, Lord." We must go to the throne of grace and say, "Help me." We need to be courageous. We need to be like Joshua, like warriors who will take the gospel to hard places, fight injustice, and serve the needy. But of all of it must be done in dependent prayer. Ano nangyari? Let's go back to Exodus. Right? I'm sorry, I can't help my being a pastor to give you pastoral counsel. Let's go to Exodus 17. Look at verse 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this as a memorial in a book and recite it in the ears of Joshua." So, sinengal out si Joshua. "Write this down as a memorial." Again, this is important. You need to write this down. And let me just say this. Even without them being given the Decalogue yet, di ba yung Ten Commandments, we've seen that they already have a list, a book that they write down their history, right? In the Bible, diba, lalo sa mga history ng kings, we see, and we would read that this was written in the book of the kings, in the chronicles of the kings. These are background books. They are not part of the canon. They're not part of the scripture, but they are background books. They're historical books to support the truth that we have in scripture. So I began, "Write this as a memorial in a book and recite it in the ears of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." And Moses built an altar and called the name of it, "The Lord is my banner, Jehovah Nissi," Jehovah Sab Nissi, saying, "A hand upon the throne of the Lord. The Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." So sabi ng Panginoon kay Moses, "Sulat mo ito, write this down on a scroll, and as a reminder, and recite it to Joshua." Here we see that Joshua was to be the successor. Again, write it down. Why write it down? If anyone would remember this event, it would have been Joshua, right? Naintindihan ni Joshua yan. Kasama siya ron eh. Right? Bakit kailangan isulat? Oh, this is to tell us that this is very important. They need to write it down because God knew that the people were going to be dealing with the Amalekites again, so that they would not be discouraged, so that they would not be disheartened, so that they would see and be reminded, "Oy, natalo nila, na natin yan before. God fought for us." You see? God, so write it down. So God made them write it down so everyone might know that God fights for His people. Sa ating konteksto, God has given us the scriptures showing us who He is, right? What He has done and who we are. The Bible is a memorial of what God has done for us. He defeated the Amalekites for us and conquered all the other enemies, bringing forth the Messiah. Diba? Beautiful. The New Testament authors wrote down for us the words and deeds of Jesus, and the good news has been passed down from generation to generation now to us, right? The Bible is the grand story of redemptive history, right? As we go back to Exodus, God predicted, "I will completely blot out the memory of Amalek under heaven." This would happen later. But the reason why God wants them to write it down is so that they would be reminded because they would meet the Amalekites again. So anong ginawa ni Moses after he built an altar? Galing. This is wonderful. He built an altar. He wanted this in order to praise God, to remind his people of his power. Excuse me. Again, sa Biblia, altars were built to express gratitude. And the patriarchs, buying fathers, sometimes named altars, diba? As Jacob did. And so we see Moses doing the same. He called this altar, "The Lord is my banner." Yahweh Nissi, Jehovah Nissi. Yung word na ito has a military context to it. Yung Nissi o yung Nis is a signal pole. Para siyang signal pole around which an army or army unit can rally, regroup, or return for instructions. Right? So para sa isang poste, itong palatandaan na doon sila mag-congregate, doon sila mag-re-regroup to receive instruction. The Lord is where we regroup. The Lord is where we rally. The Lord is where we get instructions from. Diba? So how do we apply this? We looked at this battle and we saw that the Lord fought for his people. We saw how God wanted for his people to understand and be reminded that I fought for you. So write this down. Tell this, recite this to the ears of your successor, even though he was there already and he would, hindi niya makakalimutan kagad yon. God wants his people to know that he is faithful, that he would fight. He would fight for them. He has provided for their needs. He has protected them. He has preserved them. He has fed them. And he will be fighting for them. So ano, para saan sa atin to? Why is this important for us to study? Sabi natin kanina, di ba? Israel, their history, their struggles reflects the Christian life of our struggles, of our own journey. So how should we apply this? Let us always consider our need for God's power. We all need his help. There is a battle, friends, between the children of light and the power of darkness. Diba? Look around you. The prince of the power of the air has led the unbelievers, has blinded the unbelievers for them to suppress the truth. Yung warfare nating mga hinira ng Diyos, the church, the called ones, with the power of darkness is noted in the New Testament in several places. You go to Ephesians 5, you go to Ephesians 6. But you need to understand, friends, that Jesus conquered our greatest enemy. But because the enemy is still in this world and he still exists, we need God's power. Again, from reading Ephesians 6, 10 to 12, we know that our enemy is deceptive. He uses all kinds of tactics. He is aggressive. Diba? Do not be naive. Do not forget that you are in a battle. Right? Once you got converted, once you got born again, you were part of God's army. And guess what? You are the enemy's enemy. You are the enemy's target. Right? Do not forget that Israel's story is our story. They had been redeemed and they were on their way to the promised land. Kagaya natin. We have been redeemed and we are on our way to glory as we await His coming back for us. But on the way, they faced struggles, diba? They faced difficulties from within. And now we see from without, from the outside force, they faced enemies, so will we. We have struggles from within and we will have persecution from outside. Si Moses po na-discover niya that prayer is more powerful than the problem. Right? So should we. Huwag nating kalimutan ang power ng prayers. And do not forget the power of intercession. Hindi na kalimutan ang ask ministry yon. Right? at gusto kong tingnan din natin, mga kapatid, in the context of the history of Israel, they had a mediator. Moses was their mediator. Moses interceded for the nation. On one hand, we can learn about seeking God from Moses. On another, Moses points us to the ultimate intercessor. Di po ba? Si Cristo Jesus. We have the greatest mediator interceding for us. Many great intercessors stand out in the Old Testament. Andyan si David, andyan si Solomon, andyan si Nehemiah. Right? But none are like Jesus. Bakit si Jesus ang greatest intercessor mo? Jesus is fully God and fully man. He is the ultimate mediator. He is the ultimate mediator. Jesus is the greater warrior than Joshua, defeating our ultimate enemies and making it possible for us to know God and commune with Him. And He is the greater Moses, praying for His people. Pero kagaya, hindi kagaya ni Moses, si Jesus Christ do not have to have His arms raised anymore by anyone. Di ba? Hindi niya kailangan ng ibang tao para itaas ang kamay niya because he never gets tired. He does not get tired of interceding. Si Moses' hands grew weary. And so, he drew his hand down. But Jesus always lives to intercede for us. Hebrews 7:25 always lives to intercede for us. Jesus does what Moses did exactly. He is interceding for us even right now as we speak, as we study. While we fight the good fight, He intercedes for us. Grabe yung just the thought of having the Son of God interceding for us. Wow. The Lord indeed is our banner. The Lord indeed is our banner. But in a much greater way that Moses could hardly imagine. As we close, consider Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11 verse 10. On that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nation will seek him, and his resting place will be glorious. Si Cristo po yung banner. Jesus is the banner for God's people who rally to him from every nation. Around his cross, we are unified, we are encouraged, and instructed. It is through Jesus that we experience spiritual victories. Apart from His work and His intercession, we have no hope. And we praise the Lord that we have the greater Joshua who fought for us, the greater Moses who intercedes for us and would never grow tired. Would never grow tired. What an encouragement, right? Essential number one, as we try to build a community of faith, do not forget to depend on God's power. Do not forget the power of prayer. Do not ever forget that your intercessor, that your mediator, our ultimate high priest, lives forever to intercede for us. What a wonderful reminder as we build our community of faith, dependent on God's power. Sa susunod pong linggo, we will look at the next essential. The second essential of the community of faith is, ano nga ba yun? Essential number one is dependent on God's power. Essential number two is, let me check my notes again, gospel witness. We will be looking at Exodus 18 already next week. Pray po tayo. Pasalamat tayo sa ating Panginoong Diyos sa kanyang pagtuturo. Shall we pray? Lord, we are humbled. Nagpapasalamat po kami in the simplicity of this study, Lord. We saw profound truths. Salamat ng maraming Panginoong Diyos kung paano kayo po ang gumagamit sa mga pagkakataong ito, sa mga panahon na ito for us to be reminded of great truths, that we are in a battle as we build this community of faith. There are struggles from within, our own sinful bent, our own pride, our own prejudices, but we thank you that you are calling us out, that we are one, we are part of a community. Therefore, we ought to be united, Lord, in faith. There would also be struggles from outside, persecution by the world, persecution by the unbelieving, like what we see sa aming pinag-aralan kanina, Lord, the Amalekites who have attacked your people. And though we can fight this Christian life, though we can give it a good fight, we thank you, Lord, that we can always depend on your power. We can always depend on your intercession. And so, Lord, we pray as we reflect on our lives right now. I pray for this person, Lord. I pray for this brother. I pray for this sister who may be discouraged, Lord. May you remind him or may you remind her that you are always interceding for us, that you are our high priest, that you know what we're going through. You understand well, Lord, because you are the greatest mediator of all. You are fully God and fully man. You understand what's in man, because you became flesh. And so, Lord, I pray for this brother, I pray for this sister, I pray for this friend. May he, she get encouraged, Lord, encouragement from this study. And we thank you, Lord, for reminding us that in the building up of the community, we do not do it on our own strength. We depend on your power. We thank you again, Lord, for teaching us. We pray that you'd bring us back next week as we look at another essential for building up a community of faith, and that is gospel witness. We thank you. We love you. All glory and honor be yours, O God. In Christ's most precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for joining me. Salamat po sa inyong pagsama sa akin. And I pray that you'd join me again next week as we continue on this study on this great section of Exodus. Maraming salamat po. Ingat kayo. And I pray that you'd have a good night. God bless you.